Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. So it's a beautiful day today. It's like crystal blue skies. It's one of those days where if you're in a bad mood, just the weather alone, the clear blue skies and the light breeze, the sun, it will change your mood, right? It's one of those California days. And having a great day, came home, and I was going to rub one out. And I thought to myself, just real quick, I'm the kind of person where if I think about something, for example, a cheeseburger, specifically a double-double from In-N-Out with Diet Coke and fries, once I think about it, and if it's not a fleeting thought, but if I actually kind of imagine it and crave it, it will be in my stomach by the end of the day, guaranteed, right? I don't care how far I have to drive, how long I have to wait in line. And so I know that about myself, right? I know that I can get obsessive. And masturbation is totally healthy, right? I also want to, one of the reasons why I'm sharing this is it's my contribution to normalizing things like masturbation, where there's a lot of shame. And many people, especially if you grew up maybe in a religious household, it's a sin, or you're not supposed to do that, or it's disgusting and shameful. So I want to just kind of normalize that, yes, at 49 years old, I do masturbate often. But am I doing it to numb? Am I doing it because of the obsession? Am I planting some kind of urge and then wanting to fulfill that? And so it has less to do about sexual exploration or connection to self, but more about a numbing. I don't know. And also, am I, putting too much thought into this, right? Am I digging too much? You know, it's just a beautiful day and I was going to rub one out, right? Can it just be that? Yes, it can. But if you look at your patterns, and that's how you know, is like, look at your patterns and ask yourself, and you got to be honest with yourself, you know, what is healthy, what is not healthy. Now, here's the other thing. I don't know. I don't know if it's healthy or unhealthy. I don't think I have a problem with it. I mean, I'm not someone who is powerless over masturbation where I can't function, right? I'm not canceling meetings. I'm able to do these premium podcasts. They don't affect me in that way, so I don't think I have a problem. But I did want to kind of put it under a microscope and just analyze, because today, I or at least for right now, I don't want to fulfill obsessions because I thought about it or I visualized it and now I have an obsession to make it happen. That's the pattern, right? So it doesn't matter if it's a cheeseburger or if it's rubbing one out or if it's, you know, whatever it is, right? It's the obsessive compulsive thing that I know that I have. And so being aware of that, I decided to not do it and then lean into that uncomfortable, you know, that kind of discomfort, see what comes up and see if I could kind of explore and process and push through that, if that makes sense. I also didn't want to fall asleep during this episode because you get very tired after orgasming. Okay, let's get, speaking of unhealthy behaviors, let's talk about unhealthy behaviors we confuse for love. And by the way, masturbation is not an unhealthy behavior unless you define it as so, right? All right, so the first unhealthy behavior we confuse for love is possession. And I don't think we do it intentionally, right? We don't believe that we own our partners, obviously, hopefully. Unless you're into some, you know, kink or some role playing, and that's different because that is role playing, that is fantasy. But the day to day, we don't believe that we own our partners. But there's a fine line between what people think is love, in that this person loves me so much that, you know, they can't see me with someone else, or they love me so much that they want me to wear this certain certain thing, or they love me so much XYZ. And the fine line is, people can label control and possession for love, you know. And also, if you are someone who tends to control, even if it's subtly, or have kind of possessive behavior, you might excuse that behavior by, well, I'm so in love with you, you know, I love you so much. And I think that's what's unhealthy. So you have to know that any form of possessive behavior is unhealthy. And eventually, and maybe in the beginning, it may feel like love, or it may make you feel desired, but eventually it's not sustainable, because you're going to start to feel trapped, right? You're going to start to feel controlled. Over time, any kind of possession, any kind of energy that is possessive, any kind of subtle grabbing, controlling behavior, it is all going to eventually make you feel like you're wearing a straitjacket in this relationship, and you're going to want out, right? Your relationship is going to feel like a prison. You're going to eventually outgrow that if you haven't outgrown it now, you know? In our 20s, in our teens, possession can feel like love, right? The controlling boyfriend, the possessive boyfriend, his behavior is because he's so in love with me. And so we could excuse that easily when we're young. But as we get older and we have a stronger sense of self, we realize that it's unhealthy, and that actually that possession is coming from one's insecurity, right? It's not coming from a place of security. So when we're younger, we think that that behavior is coming from the how much someone loves us, not how insecure someone is. When we get older, we realize, oh, it's one's insecurity that it's stemming from. So possession is one unhealthy behavior we can confuse for love. The other one is jealousy. It's when people get jealous, and, you know, there's healthy jealousy. I mean, jealousy is a feeling, right? Jealousy itself is not unhealthy. It's the toxic behavior that stems from jealousy that can be unhealthy, right? I mean, like anger. Anger is a feeling. We are human. It's okay to get angry. It's not okay to punch people in the face. It's not okay to throw chairs or to road rage. It's what you do with your anger. It's the behavior that stems from the anger that can be unhealthy. And I think jealousy is the same. Like, you're human. You can get jealous. It's the toxic, jealous behavior that can be mistaken for love, you know? Again, a lot of times when we're younger, we feel like if our partner is jealous, that just means they love us so much. As we get older, jealousy then becomes something kind of cringe-worthy. Jealousy becomes bad energy. It can feel or make one feel claustrophobic and controlled. So here's my question to you, if you want to bring more to the table in your relationship. Is jealousy something you struggle with, right? And if it is, it's on you, you know? If you're jealous that your boyfriend has female friends, the solution isn't for your boyfriend to stop having female friends. The solution is for you to explore where this jealousy is coming from and how much of it is on you to work through. The third unhealthy behavior we confuse for love, or can't confuse for love, is dependency. Now, here's the thing. Yes, we should depend on our partner. For example, if, you know, you have a flat tire and you're on the side of the freeway and you call your partner and your partner answers and is free, yeah, there, you can depend on your partner to come help you, right? You could depend on your partner to buy the mustard after you've forgotten at the grocery store. You could depend on your partner to help you with the domestic chores. You could depend on your partner to find her own happiness. Depend on your partner to provide a safe space for your children, right? So there is that kind of dependent as far as in a relationship. We do have certain dependency like that and expectations that we put on each other. But that's different than dependency in emotional dependency, in a sense that you are not okay unless your partner is okay, right? When you are so like a chain linked fence, you're so emotionally attached that instead of two separate people, there's like this one messy person, and it's like a spider web, right? And so a lot of us, when we fall in love, we can have this, and we mistake it for love, and it's dependency. A lot of times, we find things that we lack in other people, right? And we are now dependent on their approval, their validation, their love. We become dependent emotionally. And then over time, you almost lose your sense of self. And this is why a lot of times you wake up and you've kind of like, don't know who you are, right? We've heard that. A lot of times that comes from being so dependent. You know, the codependency is so thick, and it's been there for so long that you lose your sense of self. And so many people can mistake dependency, an unhealthy codependency, for love, right? Like, we love each other so much, like, we could finish each other's sentences, and, you know, we never fight, and we're always together, we don't need friends. There is an unhealthiness that comes from that kind of dependency. And a lot of times, because we are sold the poster of love, the love from romantic comedies, you know, the love from romance novels, that romance novels. Do romance novels even exist? They were big in the 80s. I don't know if romance novels exist. Like with Fabio and stuff. Because of the poster, because of the advertisements of love, we can think that that kind of dependency is love, when in fact it is not love. It is unhealthy behavior. It is not being in love. It's being in lost, right? Not having a sense of self. And I'll tell you, a lot of people, when they're single, they don't have any of this. They do very well. And then when they get into a relationship, they, you know, the wheels fall off. Something about love, because love can be so powerful, we can lose ourselves. A lot of times, you know, very successful, independent people who thrive alone and have built empires, they get into a relationship and they just like turn into mush, you know? And so it has nothing to do with intelligence or ambition, you know, or it has more to do with upbringing, wiring, what people activate in us. It has to do with also the healthiness or unhealthiness of your partner, right? Like, love is a chemistry project, you know? You're putting different liquids into the bottle that they mix in the chemistry labs back in the eighth grade. They had these what are those called, flasks? I don't know. Anyway, it's the mixture of two people, stories, the two ways that people are wired, right? It's the mixture of that forms something greater, and that thing that forms is so powerful that yes, you can definitely lose sense of self, you know, especially over time. So it's something to definitely be aware of. The extreme dependency is not as dangerous because it's obvious, right? It's the subtle dependency or codependency that is overlooked over time. And it's like that whole saying that a leaky faucet can drown you. And I think that's usually that is usually why I get a call from someone 5 years after a relationship, or even in the relationship, and it's like there's nothing really wrong, but I've drifted too far to turn back. You know, feelings have changed. It's because we haven't looked at things we should be looking at early on, because they weren't noticeable, and so they continue, and then they continue so much that there's been secondary change. There's been change where almost it's not fixable. It's not, you can't reverse it. You know, it's almost too late. Like, it's not just a cavity. You need a root canal. The tooth needs to be pulled. And I think that's the hardest thing about love is most people, when they go see a couple's therapist, they come in too late. You know, they don't come for maintenance. They come when the engine's like completely broken, and I don't know if it's possible to fix. And what that looks like in relationships is that the feelings have changed, right? You can work on a lot of things, but when feelings have permanently changed, it's almost impossible to reverse that process. I think feelings change. Like when you start to see your partner as a sibling or as a friend, I don't know if, I mean, yes, you can put effort into it, you know, you can fan flames, you can do date nights, you could, you know, try to change as much as you can, try to see your partner differently, try to find beauty in your partner, rediscover your partner, all those things. But if it's been a long time and you only see your partner as a sibling now, that's how you feel, you know, if your husband has gone from your mouth to your nipple and he's more like a child that you take care of, it's really hard to recover from that. It's really hard to reverse that feeling. Hey, also, guess what? I don't feel like rubbing one out anymore. The urge has passed. I sat still for 20 minutes, and by sitting still, I mean I recorded a podcast, but I took my mind off my obsession. Well, I wouldn't say obsession, but my urge before it turned into an obsession, and it's passed, and I feel okay. I feel power-filled, And also, if I decide to, it's okay too, right? But I think it's just this exploration and understanding of how we are and where things come from. And I think that's what's important. Not so much the label that we put on something, but more the effort to explore, you know? And actually not put labels on things and just kind of be curious. So my revelation with this I don't want to label it, but this simple life thing is that if I decide to sit still, if I decided to focus on something else, that my urges can be controllable and can pass, right? And again, it doesn't mean that because I wanted to masturbate in the middle of the day that that is unhealthy. I'm not allowing myself to shame that. I'm just saying that I don't have to fall into it if I don't want to, right? Anyway, thank you for listening.